All right. I was walking in the hallway and Kelly goes, I liked your message. I was like, it hasn't even started yet. Welcome. Good morning, everybody. So good to see all of you here. We're going to feast this morning, hopefully. I don't know. We'll see what happens. By way of introduction, my name is Casey. My wife, Allison, was not singing or playing the guitar or playing the violin this morning. It's a rare morning where we can show up at church around 10 o'clock. If I'm preaching, I show up at like 10:05 because Allison's normally on worship, and I'm like trying to get the kids out the door. And if you're a dad, you know we're not good at it. So my name is Casey. By day, I am a data analyst. I've been coming to River for a couple years. How many people have come to River for like less than 6 months? Since the new year, maybe? Okay, that's 3 months. All right, cool. We got some new faces. We're going to attack you. No, I'm just kidding. It's always like if you go to a church and they're like, we're going to pray for all the single people. All the single people raise your hands. And all the guys are like, oh. It's like, we'll pray for you. And stop it. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. We're not going to do that, though. But yeah, don't feel attacked. Just curious. It's always good to see brand new faces here. The river of life is alive, people. All right. So we're going to look at a couple passages of scripture this morning. Before we do, let us pray. What did I say? 11:05? All right. I'm aiming. I have two things to say. It's going to take me an hour and a half. You know how it is. I'm like, I don't have anything to say. I was like, you know, preparing for this type of a, preparing for a message like this, I take it very seriously because this is the word of God. We're discussing this. And sometimes, like, you know, we could just talk about stuff, but sometimes there's very specific things that God wants to do in a given week, and it really irritates me when he doesn't tell me till like Friday, or show me anything or whatever. And I was meeting with Rui and Neil on Thursday, and they're like, how's it going? I'm like, almost in tears. So from Thursday to now, I made everything up. So here we go. We'll see what happens. We're going to wing it. People are like, what are you going to do? We're just like, we're going to wing it, and we'll see what happens. But first, by the Spirit, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this ability to gather. And what an amazing time of worship, Lord, where we can just take the time and pause and declare your goodness, declare who you are, and just remember why we exist. And reflect that goodness back to you, and hopefully as we leave here, to the rest of the world. Lord, I pray that you would just give me a special anointing, that it would be your words and not mine, and that you would help us to believe. In Jesus' name. All right, so two passages of scripture, one in the book of Luke, one in the book of John. I will read them and we'll begin. The book of Luke, by the way, do you know who Luke was? He was Luke. And you get, that's right, 10,000 points. This is a game where points, the game's made up and the points don't matter. But more to you. So Luke was named Luke, and he was a doctor charged by this guy named Theophilus to write. Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts, and he was charged by this guy to go around because after the fact, this guy Theophilus had learned some things, and he's like, dude, what happened? And so he sent Luke, who was a very detailed person, to go interview all these eyewitnesses, put things in order chronologically so that Theophilus could have something to read, and it could verify the things that he had said. When we get to John, John was written by John, probably. Probably somebody wrote it for him, because I think he was old towards the end of his life. He may not even have known how, I don't know how to conjugate those helping verbs in there, so sorry, all you English teachers, how to write. But so John was a disciple of Jesus, and so he walked with him. He was one of the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, I think that's right. Is that right? Yeah. What? He was the baby of them all. And so John had walked with Jesus and seen many great things. And this was an account of the miracle. His book was an account of the miracles of that what he had done. So we're going to look at two. Keep that in mind. He's very two different people. One who had walked with Jesus. One who had came on the scene after the fact. Let's pick it up in Luke chapter 5. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, Jesus is speaking to these people, and they're pressing around him, and he's giving the word of God, and he is the word of God. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying by the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When he had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help him. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. John chapter 21. This is after Jesus was resurrected, after he showed up inside their locked house, after he had breathed on them. And so John chapter 21, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, I don't know, he's a twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together, seven of them. And seven is the number of perfection, completion, for all you numerologists out there. Don't worry about that. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." "I'm going to work after all this greatness." They said to him, "We will also come with you." And they went out and got into the boat. And that night, they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" Cloaking device, like Neil had referred to last week. And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, the author, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards away, dragging the full net of fish, the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it in bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." And Simon Peter went up, drew the net to the land, full of large fish, 153 to be exact. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of the Lord. I'll tell you what. It's hard to read in front of a lot of people. I've read these passages like 150 times in the last few days, and I still like can't figure out what it's actually saying. But the Bible, I've said this before, I will say it again, the Bible is like a gold mine. It is not like a museum. Like, we read this and we go, "Oh, that's cool," and we can move on. But what's so interesting about reading and rereading and meditating and chewing on these different passages, kind of like we've done in life group, like I'm taking credit for it, I showed up to two, thank you. The last two, sorry, it's a whole thing. But it was the same passage for all 6 weeks, and each time, how many people were amazed at how many different things you could pull out of it as you read the same passage? If you were in the front, people in the back were nodding, so don't get too excited. But it is powerful because each time you read it, you can pull something new out of it. This morning, I read it again. And that's when I pulled out, and I pulled out this nugget. Like, the people were listening to the word of God. he was standing by the lake. It's like they were listening to the word of God, but they were listening to the word of God who became flesh. So when we're done and you're dissatisfied because there are so many things that we didn't cover, I have 7 more minutes to, I'm just kidding. There's no timer. Don't yell at me. But at the same time, I have a goal. So when we're done and you're like, there's 150 other things we could have talked about, I understand. And then next week, you can pick up where we left off. Or I would challenge you this week, take this and chew on it yourself in your private devotional time. I would love to discuss this. I would love to discuss it more. Like, what do you see? What do I see? Let's talk about all these other things. But there are 2 things that I would like to talk about this morning. All right, the first. I'll just say it. Evangelism's results are God's. Okay? And so we're going to look at fishing and these guys catching this fish and how that comes about as a metaphor for evangelism and the kingdom, souls being added to the kingdom. Now, when is the best time of day to fish? At night. Early morning, at night into early morning, okay? When it's light or dark? Dark, right? Okay, now where is the best spot to fish? Not like in the river, but if there's a lake, where's the best spot? Where, in the deepest spot, right? Not where the little waves are coming in. Like, James is out there with his boogie board. It's like, no, bro, we're going way out there because that's where the fish are, and they come out to feed early in the morning. And in fact, if there's a river pouring into it, somebody was explaining one time, like, if the river is pouring into it, like, there's all kinds of, like, the fish are there because they can, that's where, like, there's good oxygen or something like that. I don't know. I'm not a geometrist. So, whatever. Like, regardless. Yeah. So, at night, early morning, and in deep water, okay? Now, how common was fishing? That was their job. That was their job. That's how they got food. That was their business. That's what they did. They would go fishing. And so this is like a very common thing, and these guys know how to do it. Twice, right? Like, we look at these two. I read this, John 21. I was like, wow, this is like crazy. And then I was like, wait a second. And then I read Luke chapter 5, and I was like, this didn't happen just one time. This happened 2 times. Now, 1 time in the Bible seems important because it's the word of God. 2 times in the word of God, which is, your eyebrow should go like this. And you give him one of these. And then we're going to figure out what's going on. Okay, so it's a very common act. That was for you, Daryl. You're the only one who laughed, so it was honestly for you. Yeah, exactly. At night in the deep water. And so, in both of these situations, they had just come in. Morning had come, right? They had just gotten out of their boats. They were washing their nets. They were done, right? And he and Jesus was teaching the first one. And there in John, there that night, they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking. So we have this scene in both of these where they're close to the shore, literally on shore in Luke. And now they're close to shore, about 100 yards away, not very far, and it is morning. This is wrong. This is wrong, right? This doesn't make sense because Jesus gives a command. Listen, if you've been fishing all night, if you've been fishing 20 minutes, how many people are fishermen in here? Okay, you like fishing? How long do you last before you get frustrated? Like 5 minutes. That's me. I'm not a fisherman. Anybody just like to do it because they're interested in the sound of the reel it makes as it unwinds? Like, I don't know. These guys needed to do it for food. It was their profession. And now they're done. They have failed miserably. They have not accomplished what they had set out to do. They're done. It's over. And Jesus goes, do it again. Throw your net off the side one more time. Now, that's like me saying, throw your net. I don't even know what it, like, it sounds like bad advice because these people know what they're doing, and Jesus is like, throw it again. They're like, I don't know if you know, that the sun is out and now the fish are wicked deep and we're on like pretty close to land. There's nothing here, bro. There's nothing here, bro. Like, come on. And so, like I said, think about this as a metaphor in an evangelistic sense as people are being added to the kingdom. Because they're doing regular things, regular work. Two things. Number one, our workplaces are very important. They're very important. Because, like, we're in such close contact to people. It's a worldly connection. But also, do not discount regular religious, don't throw rocks at me for that word, religious practices. I'm not religious. I live by the Spirit. Congratulations. But there are regular things that you do in your life that are important and are taught in Scripture that you're like, well, this isn't really that exciting. I just want to float around in the Spirit and prophetically breathe into situations. Important. Do not discount the regular. Okay? Because the results are not because you do something magnificent. Okay? The results come from two things. Number one, the call, the command of God. When God speaks, nothing can stop it. Like, how do you think all the animals got into the ark two by two? Like, Noah had a bunch of leashes? Or did God command his creation? Did God order his creation for his purposes? The command came from the mouth of God. And his disciples responded in obedience. Now, there's a little pushback here from Peter. He's like, dude, we did that. Like, we did that right. We already did it right. And we failed miserably. But because I just heard you speak and teach to all these people, you have some sort of authority. I'll listen. And then Jesus, after speaking to this crowd, we see this miracle happens that confirms what he has taught with an exclamation mark of his authority. But, side point, but Peter listens and he obeys, and the results are there. He could have fished every day for a year and caught nothing. And then Jesus comes like, go, let's throw it off one more time. And then bam, so much fish that the net was breaking. We talk about revival. The regular things that we do and we focus on are not in vain because we are called to be in obedience and to be ready when the word of God comes to the people in this land. Because it doesn't, like, if you have a soapbox and you're on the corner, I don't know if people do that anymore, corner, like, the corner street corner, corner street, there's a corner street, a street corner ministry, sure, it might have some viable, it might be viable, great, but they're doing regular things. This is, like, a very important point. They're doing regular things day in and day out, what they're just supposed to do, and at the right time, you can't stop the influx because God has spoken and woken up his people. Ladies and gentlemen, that's revival. The dead coming to life. I have nothing against singing songs. I really don't. I'm not trying to downplay this at all. For 24/7. But revival, I'm going to say that this is my opinion. This is not the official opinion of River Atlantic Church. This is just me saying that the influx of people, and it could be you coming alive again and returning to obedience and the call of the Lord, is going to be so shocking that the news outlets are going to cover it. No, they're not. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But it's going to be amazing because the people are going to wake up. And that's at the end of your own ability, right? Like, if you're in ministry and you're out there you're talking to people. I've talked to these people a hundred times, and like nothing's happening. Cast again. I want to encourage you this morning. Cast again. You're doing the right thing, and you're providing an opportunity to catch the people who are responding to something that you have no control over. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a very dark time. A very dark time. And if you don't think so, turn on your TV. Don't turn on your TV. Talk to your friends. But there are things going on that are just very dark and away from shore. Sometimes we feel like when we're in the world, we're away from safety. We can sink, but we're fishing at the right place in the right time. When it's dark and in the deep, you're doing the right things. Amen? We're doing the right things. Now, last point here, and I'm like, we're not going to make it, folks. We're not going to make my goal of 7-minute sermons. In John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is the one who told Peter, it is the Lord. Like, all this happened. Listen, Peter was the main character the first time, and he's in the boat the second time. You would think he's like, oh, this dude told me to throw it over, and we got all this fish again. I bet that's Jesus again, because he's already seen him. But, on the road to Emmaus, they didn't know it was Jesus walking with them. Even Paul of Tarsus, his eyes were blinded when Jesus spoke to him. He like couldn't see so that he could see. You know what I'm saying? And so what I'm saying is, as a brother and brothers and sisters, it is important for us to say, like, listen, you're doing the right thing, and encourage, and saying, like, that's God. And pointing that out to each other, but also pointing it out to other people who may not be believers. It's a little bit of a stretch, not so don't, whatever. But I was talking to somebody, and very recently, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. And she was saying how her daughter had gotten diagnosed with this disease called Polin syndrome. Anybody know what that is? It's like your pectoral muscles are underdeveloped on one side. So everything's functional, but like just might not be like even for whatever reason. I don't know. It's like the how many people have heard of it? Okay, one, maybe two. One, let's say one person. It's like it's a common occurrence, but very few people know about it unless you're affected by it. And she was saying like, boom, doctor's appointment, and then after that, she went to this mom's group, and she, you know, just a support group, just saying like for other things, but also just like for people to get together and just say, hey, listen, this is what just happened. And the person sitting next to her had Polin syndrome. Bang, bang. And I blew it. I'm going to admit this. I've asked for forgiveness. But she was telling me this story, and I was like, this was before, like, I had read any of this. And that's the Lord. He works like that. But it takes somebody saying, hey, that's the Lord. And somebody who may be blind could now see if you connect those dots for them. Do you understand? You don't get to a place in the Christian life where all of a sudden everything is perfect and you're flawless. We need each other to keep us rooted and grounded, because we get beat up from Monday to Saturday when we're out of Sunday after we leave till Sunday we come in. We just get beat up by things in the world. We get beat up by our children. Oh, my God, they're the worst. I have a 3-year-old, and she, like, punches me in the head every single day. I'm like, we do not hit, we do not push, we do not grab. Yeah, okay, well, don't say that out loud. She said she has a bruise from my daughter. It's like, well, what did you do? What did you do? But we get beat up in the world because we're out here in the dark and in the deep, and we need people to say, listen, those strange, like, that's the Lord. Those things that happened, that's weird, like, that's the Lord. And so we're going to be ready for that. Evangelism's results are God's. The second thing, which is wildly important, I think, is that was one. One. I got 13 more of these. We're getting lunch catered. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. No. Peter's response shows how powerful an encounter with Jesus really is. So in Luke, in this first situation, early on in his ministry, when Peter's really called, Jesus is in the boat with Peter. It's like really close, like really close, like close. He's there. And he hears this teaching, everything that he says, and he obeys. And when he sees this miracle, he falls down and is like, let me get it right here. He says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Now, today, most of you are like, Peter, what did he know? He probably shouldn't have done that. Didn't he know that God loved him? But I want to submit to you that when God himself draws near to somebody and reveals his glory, and you see him in this bright white robe, in who he is, completely other, completely holy, completely perfect, completely worthy of it all, with all power and authority to command fish and animals and eventually the waves and the wind and the hearts of men. And he draws near and he's next to you. If you are a sinful person and you understand who God is and how you have failed, this response is completely appropriate. Now, did Jesus blow him up? No, that is not who God is. God is not in heaven. He's not Zeus with lightning bolts chucking him down on his people. That is important. But this first part is also important to understand the magnitude and the respect and the awe that Peter has when he experiences and encounters this miracle and the power of God working right next to him. That is that is such an appropriate response. Now, the rest, he gets called by Jesus. He's like, Jesus is like, well, follow me. Listen, the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world. He came to save, and he came to redeem. And that is important for you and everybody you know. And so Peter spends the years with Jesus. He understands he's the Messiah, the Son of God. There's a scene, it's a movie. There is a scripture in Matthew where Jesus is like, he's talking to his disciples. He's like, hey, who do the people think that I am? And they're like, John the Baptist resurrected, Elijah who came again, and one of the prophets. That's who these people are saying. He's like, okay. But who do you say that I am? And Peter's like, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And Jesus is so like elated. He's just like, you get it, dude. Like the only way that you know that is because God revealed it to you in your heart. That's the only way you get that. Okay? So you should be so like, this is amazing. The things that have been revealed to you, Peter, like you probably don't understand. And literally the next paragraph, Jesus is like, okay, I'm the Son of God. He has to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and die, and that's how it's going to be. And Peter's like, not a chance, dude. Not if I have anything to say about it. It's a paraphrase. He didn't say dude. He's like, no way. And then Jesus comes back and says, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking of everything from man's perspective, but not God's perspective. So Peter, who experiences this miracle, understands that Jesus is the Messiah, is in this incredibly close relationship and still like doesn't quite get it, goes on to deny Jesus 3 times before the rooster crows. But he has this incredible relationship and still he falls on his face over like continually. Okay? And so, exactly, just like us. Thanks, Steve. And so, after this resurrection, this event, Jesus has appeared to them a couple times, and then after all that, okay, Peter's like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to get me some fish because I'm hungry after all the things that have happened. And that's where we pick up this story. There's like this roller coaster in his life, okay? Keep that in mind. This guy is famous. Wrote a couple of books, a couple epistles. Get some shout-outs in Acts. A foundational apostle of the faith. And yet we see him fall on his face. but he is still loved, and he still loves. So in this second situation, Jesus, you know, in the first one, Jesus is very close. He's in the boat. This next one, Jesus is on the, he's far away. He's on the land, starting to distance himself, getting ready for that ascension, okay? I don't know. Maybe. And so they cast out this net. They catch the fish. John's like, that's the Lord. And Peter puts on his outer garment because he's in his skibbies, for he's in the water. But as a sign of respect to cover himself up, he covers up and then jumps and swims or runs. I don't know how deep the water was, but just 100% goes right for Jesus. One, get away from me. I'm not worthy. Two, I am willing to give up everything in this boat that we have caught because I want him. Listen, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to maybe say the opposite thing. Peter's reaction is not an extension of his personality. Okay, you didn't like that. Peter's reaction of giving up everything and running full force towards Jesus is not because he's an overzealous, emotional maniac, high highs, low lows. You know those people. Half of you are probably married to those people. Half of you are those people who it's like one thing, it's the highest high in the roller coaster and the lowest low on the roller coaster. And okay, don't do that to me. But the point is, my wife is sitting in that section for everybody. What am I on, camera one, camera two? Just kidding. But listen, it's not just an extension of his personality. Because he was willing to give up everything. So typically, if you're very zealous, you're just willing to like make a decision at the drop of a hat. I'm not like that, okay? I identify with John. It's like, yo, that's God. And then all of a sudden you turn, you're like, hey, Peter, and boom, he's already up. I'm like, really, dude? Like, who's gonna help me with all this fish? First of all, second of all, I could have been wrong. I might have been wrong. I don't really know. Like, I gotta take time and evaluate all the evidence and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's my personality. I'm very steady, very boring, okay? I pretend on Sunday mornings when I'm up here. But it's like, you're like, no, you're not. I can hear that in your head. But my point is that it's not just an extension of his personality, although people may have that reaction. But even so, if you don't identify with Peter in that way, I don't even know how to put it into words that after an encounter in living life with Jesus and seeing this miracle, and seeing him denying him, like, he denied him three times. Watched him beaten, carry his own cross, hung on the cross, dead. Dead. The guy was dead. Dead. D-E-D. Dead. Okay? And then he shows up again. He's alive. Puts his fingers in his wrist, the holes, the nail holes. They're like, they can touch his side where he was speared by the Roman soldier. They're like, this is somebody I never want to let go of. I never want to let go of. Regardless of what's going on, we are called to hold nothing close to our chest. Hold nothing close. We are called, you love your family. You love your parents, your spouse, your children, all of those things. But loving Jesus is more important than that. I love my wife because I love Jesus. My house could burn down, but I love Jesus. But I have him. And I'm not even saying you're saved by how much you love God. You're saved by putting your faith in him that he died and took all sin, your sin upon him, and he rose again to give us new life. That's how you're saved. But out of that, he breathes into you. And his life is put in you, and your heart changes, and you're willing to give up everything, anything and everything. Even the blessings that he gives you, like all of these fish, dude, and they got to the shore, and they forsook it all, and they went with him. That's powerful. That's the product of an encounter with Jesus. That's the product of an encounter with him. And because we're after so many things, like we talk about holiness, we're after holiness. We want to be a holy people, okay? We are after obedience. We're after evangelism. And I would argue that an encounter with Jesus fuels that. And now some of you in here, I believe, think, wow, I've had an encounter with him 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe 45 minutes ago. But as brothers and sisters, like, we don't need to be reminded that God exists. Or, you know what? We do need to be reminded that God exists and God loves us. And the truth that he gave his only son so that we could have eternal life. And in addition to that, not just being reminded of those things, but we need to see him. We need to encounter him. We come to this building and we worship, and there's just this sense of he's here. Like, you look at this cross as worship happens, and you're like, man, all of that, yes, Lord. And then in worship time, he can speak to us. We encounter him. Even doing regular things. You're at your job, and it's like, hey, go over there and say this to somebody. That's an encounter. And when you obey, you just get this nudge. You're like, I got to go tell this guy something. Blah, 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 blah. And they're like, wow. Like, that's an encounter that continually fuels us and allows us to not hang on to these things, continually reminds us of who he is and who we are, and that we are a people who are called by him, by his name, and that we can give up anything and everything. We're in a very privileged country. We're in a very privileged country. Take none of that for granted. If you've been in the service, I thank you deeply for ensuring and keeping America free. Whatever that means, like, to you. You're like, well, they really didn't. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in saying that we have the most freedom of anywhere to worship God and not have it restricted by the government. And the things and the blessings that we have, I'm just encouraging you and just reminding you that Peter did not hold on to them so tightly. There are gifts that God gives you that are for you. And there are blessings that he gives you in abundance. It's like, I could have given you 7 fish. He gave him 153. Does 153, 7 go into 153 evenly? I don't even know. Probably not. It's a prime number. I don't know that either. I don't know. Added up. Oh, it's divisible by 3 because it adds up to 9. Math. But he gave over and abundantly. But even so, they were willing to give it all up because of an encounter with God. Evangelism's results are God's. Never underestimate the power of an encounter with God. So how does the world encounter God today? I mean, I believe we did this morning, right? But even after all this, Jesus ascended. God the Father is in heaven. Jesus ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Where is God? God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us. From a distance? You guys remember that song? What a terrible message. Because he is in us. He is with us, and he is in us. And the world encounters Jesus by encountering you. As we obey and we live by his Spirit, he is in us. The life of Christ is in us. He breathes his life into us, and we can go out and show the world his goodness. Show the world who he is by how we live and how we treat each other and how we respond to situations and how in times of suffering we're willing to just say, this is hard. I'm not downplaying suffering. It is hard. Life is hard because we're in a dark time in deep water. But we have the voice of God and we have the Spirit of God. We have the life of God that lives within us. And as we listen and we obey over and over and over, we prove to ourselves and to the universe that by casting our net one more time all of those who have had an encounter with God can be added to the kingdom. Amen. And so I don't know what we want to do. Maybe we could, Barb, do you want to play a little piano here? Literally, like, Daryl was like, how do you want to end? It's like, yeah, do it. I knew you were going to say something. I knew you were. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then a couple prayer points.
I mean, a lot of what he's talking about has really been the last 30 years of my life. I've always been waiting for the Lord to show up in my life. And really, in just in the last 6 months, I really feel a different push. But it's really become only came for me is the more that I'm willing to put him first in my life and then really just doing it, not waiting anymore. So just an example yesterday, I don't know, I just feel like everywhere I don't want to sit at the house. I want to go out. I want to do something. I want to be moving. I want to be visiting. I want to be seeing people, visiting people, whatever. So yesterday, we just went to Market Basket. And before we went in, I was saying to my wife, Kelly, I just want to make a connection. She's like, what? She kind of knows what I'm talking about, but I just want to make a connection. So somebody walks by, and it says Maine on the front of her sweatshirt. I'm from Maine, and I said, hey. And she didn't hear me. She just walks by. Kelly goes, well, she probably didn't hear. And I'm like, that's all right. So we're walking around a little bit, and then I go by this young girl, and she's got a map of the Maine on her, you know, on her sweatshirt. And I said, hey, are you from Maine? She goes, yeah. And she tells me she's from Portland. I said, I'm from Maine. And we just chit-chat for a second. That's in the first aisle. By the second aisle, Kelly and I are talking to this girl. I get her number. I know her business. And I'm also inviting her to our house. I don't know, we're having some party at the end of the month in April. But it's only because of my prayer, you know, not me. This has got nothing to do with me, folks. It's all about the Lord. And I'm going to tell you here right now, I've been to a lot of churches in my life, and I think the Lord wants to do a work with River, and it's through you guys and your dedication to the Lord, it's going to break free. That's my opinion, and I think it's nothing more than just getting before the Lord and just continuing in it, and don't get discouraged. I mean, I've been so discouraged, you know, God can't use me because I still sin, I'm this, I'm that. I'm done with that crap. I'm just asking the Lord for a connection. Lord, I want to talk to somebody. I want to meet somebody. Show them to me. Give me the words, Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to invite everybody and anybody to my house that I can share the Lord with them. Amen.
Well, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me throughout the whole service today about such a time as this. He's given us the power in Jesus Christ to spread the word. It's up to us now in this times that we live in today to go forward with what he's given us, the mouth, you know, and everything that Christ has given us, to lives in us, to pass on his word to others, to save those who are not awake yet. It's time we show up.
If you're hearing all of these people talking about these encounters that they're having, and you're saying, well, I'm not having those encounters. Why am I not having those encounters? You can have those encounters. Remember, how do we approach the Lord? How do we approach him? How did the disciples approach him? Acknowledge that you are a sinner. Repent. Go before him and apologize for the things you know you're messing up in life, because we all do. But then you thank him. You thank him for his goodness, and you watch and see the encounters that you will have.
Amen. Well, some of you have heard Pastor say earlier, this coming Saturday we're having a funeral service for our youngest son who passed away on the 10th of February. March. Where am I? I don't know. Anyway, I want to talk to you about an encounter with God that I had 2 days ago or yesterday. I don't even remember. It was so fresh and new. I have to share it with you. You guys got to know, God will intervene in any situation you find yourself in. It's been a tough week, I have to tell you. It's no fun losing your 55-year-old youngest son. It's a pretty painful, talk about suffering. There's been a lot of suffering in our home this week. And with our family, our daughter, she and Joe were like this growing up. And our son in prison was his next best friend. So anyway, I'm sitting at the table reading the beautiful card so many of you have sent us. And one, I think it was the last one, actually. I opened up the last one and I read this several verses on this side. And one line jumped off the page at me and I knew it was God instantly. It said, death has swallowed up by victory. Death is swallowed up by victory. I don't know how it goes, you know. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, that was awesome. And then a second later, I heard the song. I told Pastor, it sounded like a myriad of angels singing, "Oh, victory in Jesus." And I have been singing that ever since. God is victorious over death. Is that outstandingly wonderful? Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. I want you to pray too. Don't just listen to me. You got as much authority as I do. And in the spirit of this Easter season, when people are so hungry, God can use any time, but this is the Mac Daddy of Christian holidays. The day that the man who died rose again. In a couple weeks, people are ready. I believe God is preparing people. I want you to be encouraged to cast your net again. And I want you to ask God if there's anybody who you can speak to. Is there anybody? I want you to pray for those encounters. Like Monique said, like maybe you blew it. I had to repent because I blew it. I totally blew it. I didn't realize I blew it, but I blew it. Say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. But give me another shot. Give me another shot. And for some of you, I want you to ask Jesus for an encounter right now. I want you to ask him to reveal himself and his goodness to you. And just wait and see and receive. Back in September, when Cody was here, he was talking about, like, people have trouble. You just have trouble receiving. It sounds so simple. Just take it. Just receive it. I believe God wants to speak to us and reveal himself to us and give us a fresh encounter over and over and over again, because he is our God. He is the Lord. And he wants to be with us and walk with us and show himself to us. And in that, when that Hope of America, that Sunday, I was just standing there and God said something to me so clearly. And I was like, how many times have I been here? And I'm just so concerned about talking when I can't even listen and receive. And I want you to, let's go before him boldly to the throne of grace that has covered all sin and has begun a regeneration in you and your being and in your spirit to give you new life, so that when he shows up, you do not fall at his feet and say, "Get away from me." But you see him and you abandon, are willing to abandon anything and everything to have him. And to be with him. So, Lord, would you speak to us right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this word, that we can see these historical events written down by eyewitnesses, disciples themselves. Use it to build our faith, God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Build our faith, Lord. We come to you boldly and in Jesus' name. God, show us right now. Is there anybody, is there anywhere, show us a place we can cast our net that's ready for you. Show us people where we can cast our net. Lord, we ask for these divine appointments. God, would you show us yourself? Show us your Son. Show us your glory. We want to see your glory. The book of Hebrews says that he is the radiance of the glory of God. If you see Jesus, you see glory. If you see Jesus, you see the glory and the fullness of who God is. We want a God encounter this morning. Show us your face, Lord. Show us yourself. One more time. If we missed it in worship, Lord, those people who felt like they missed it, they didn't get it, quicken them, awaken them, God. Show yourself to them. Those who missed it this morning and they thought they have to wait another 7 days, Lord, now how about another hour? Show us your glory, Father. Show us your glory. We want to encounter you. Give us assurance. Pour out your love and your grace and your mercy here this morning. We want you. We want to know you.
I love you guys. So, my heart is full, my soul is happy, but my flesh is tired, right? It's been a rough few years for everybody, right? So we're all tired. And when we're tired, our resources are low, we default back to our most primal instincts. Right? That's not always good. It's never good. Because we all have trauma. We all have trauma in our life. So there's a trauma response. When you're feeling pressure, you're going to respond through that trauma. Now you can pray, you know, God, take this trauma from me. I want to be the best version of myself. You can hold on to it, you can hold on to it, you can hold on to it, and you can use it as an excuse. Like, why haven't, well, this is why I don't do this. This is why I don't stand up and share. This is why I don't want to pray for people. We can rationalize anything in our weak minds, right? Romans 12 says, be renewed, right? The constant renewing of your mind. Okay, but God, I tried. Well, lean not on your own understanding, right? God, I tried. The trauma's there. What if God already healed you from the trauma? Oh, now you're holding a grudge, right? What if you don't have to operate in that trauma? What if God took that away, but you haven't renewed your mind? So you're still operating out of that filter. I did it for a very long time. Very long time. God, take my trauma. God standing there saying, will the real Adam Arsenault please stand up? Please stand up. Because there's work to do, right? There's worship to be part of. There's a message to be part of. We have work to do in this congregation. I need the real Adam Arsenault to stand up, right? We need the real Daryl to stand up. We need the real Nikki, the real Casey, the real everybody. Because we are resurrected, right? In him. We have the Holy Spirit that lives with him, and nothing on this earth is going to hold me back because I have been healed and I am resurrected. So the only thing holding me back is me. Will the real Adam Arsenault please, please stand up? Because I need you guys. We all need each other. Be the best version of yourself that you can be, and don't let any crap hold you back, because we need each other. We're stronger together, and we're tired. We're tired. Everybody's tired. Amen, right? But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Strength in numbers, right? I got your back. I need you guys to have mine. Be resurrected. I love you guys.
Well, let's pray here. Yeah, Lord, we need you. God, we need you. We need you. Like the disciples who were tired and who were weak, you chose to work through them. Lord, we want to push the kingdom of light. We want to push your kingdom forward. Work through us. Renew our strength. Help us not dwell on our own weaknesses. Lord, we disregard ourselves. We disregard our weaknesses. We disregard our faults. We disregard our past sins. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to see you, to see our mission, to not let anything get in the way. Build us up, God. Build this body up. Do what only you can do. Give us another chance. We want more chances, God. We want to keep casting our net. We're going to walk in obedience, Father. Help us, Holy Spirit, to keep us close to the Father and keep us walking in lockstep, in obedience, to receive what you have, even in the shallow water for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that it can only be done by you and through you. We thank you in advance for the mighty works to be done in us and through us, but for your glory. Get your glory, God. You're the only one who's worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It all belongs to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, well, we can be dismissed. Go get your kids. I'll hang out. You want to hang out if people want prayer? Thank you. Appreciate you. Didn't talk about it. I appreciate you. Thank you. All right, have a good week, everybody.